I have to get Ohana to give me a proper pronunciation. I'll give it a shot though. Chapter 14. Draco dormiens nunquam titillandus. Draco dormiens nunquam titillandus. Good as anything. Yeah. I mean, we don't even need to coordinate all that well. I can just send him the lines, and he can just do it on his own time. I mean, if he wants to talk with me, that's also fine. But I mean, it really doesn't require a great deal of scheduling. Harry huffed a line of dust off the shelf of books beside the ladder. Odd, dust-free shelves scattered the circular library beyond the desk. Odd, dust-free shelves scattered the circular library beyond the desk and a circle of his footprints. And a circle of his footprints ringed its wooden And a circle of his footprints ringed its wood floor. Salazar pulled his snake away from over his eyes and yawned.
Is today?
Yes.
I told you to come see me before. I told you to come see me beforehand so I could teach you things.
Salazar exploded into parcel tongue, muttering curses so fast Harry's ears couldn't pick them out.
I did. I'm right here.
I can't teach you right before the task begins. You'll need your strength for the tournament.
No.
You'll need your strength for the competition, and blood magic is the... You'll need your strength for the competition, and blood magic is a demanding field. It's sacrifice-based, after all.
The snake slithered around Salazar's neck and settled on.
There's not much point, is there? I become French. I knew this would happen. I knew this would fucking happen. I would get confused between the French voice and the Spanish voice, and we get back into Spanish.
Okay.
I can't teach you right before the task begins. You'll need your strength for the competition, and blood magic is a demanding field. It's sacrifice-based, after all.
The snake slithered around Salazar's neck and settled on his right shoulder.
You can't even teach me about the theory.
Oh, I already did that part.
Yeah, Harry asked. There's not much point, is there? Magic is best learnt practically and actively, not listening to a painting.
Harry shoved Secrets of the Darkest Arts to one side and sat on the edge of the desk.
Well, we've got a little bit of time.
What is the task?
Salazar asked. I've no idea, Harry shrugged. I think it's probably meant to be a surprise.
Where is your cunning?
Salazar threw his hands in the air, dislodging his snake. It let out a disgruntled hiss and slithered up his leg back to its perch. It let out a disgruntled hiss and slithered up his leg back to its perch.
What kind of errors did... What kind of heir of Slytherin are you? You should have gone and found out.
From where? Harry asked. The big book of future tournament tasks?
Salazar snickered and pointed at the desk behind him. Harry swiveled. A new, clean piece of parchment sat right on top. A new, clean piece of parchment sat right on top of a stack of books, weighed down by a crystal vial.
The big book of future tournament tasks.
You left that just before you arrived.
And
said I'd understand in a short while.
I used the time turner, didn't I? Harry turns to look at the desk, only to find the golden necklace gone. Where am I?
You said you were going to practice Occlumency exercises.
Salazar replied.
Read the rest aloud from me.
Dragons. Distractions work best. Don't ignore Kerry. Don't ignore Kerry. Why am I saying Kerry? Don't ignore Katie. Bloody hell, dragons.
Harry's heart hammered against his ribs and his breath caught in his throat. And I thought baby Norbert was bad.
Dragons, Salazar stroked his chin. Could be worse.
Harry wiped the sweat off his palms. Dragons seem pretty bad.
Could be worse, could be another basilisk. A dragon normally attacks by breathing fire, which they can only do in one direction. That's fairly easy to see coming. The stare of the King of Serpents is much more subtle and deadly.
If I'm hit by the fire, it really won't matter.
You survived to warn yourself, Salazar said. The plan must have worked, and now you know it. Because you will have done it, succeeded, and told yourself.
Harry blinked.
Run that by me once more?
Harry James Potter Evans Varys, this ain't. Now, Witcher, Dave's the one that told me that my Spanish voice was good enough, so I don't know.
Salazar sighed.
You left yourself a message telling you how to do the task after completing it. Just trust yourself and go with it.
He peered over Harry and frowned.
What else does he say?
The small one bites.
I have no idea what you are trying to tell yourself. I hope it wasn't important.
I can't imagine leaving myself an ambiguous note if it didn't... I can't imagine leaving myself an ambiguous note if it didn't need to be ambiguous, Harry said. Know anything about dragons?
I am Salazar Slytherin.
You'll never say that when you don't know, Harry muttered.
I wasn't stupid enough to ever begin a fight with one, Salazar snapped. Avoid the fire, the claws, and the teeth. Their senses of smell and hearing are good, but not amazing. So once it's blind, you can remain undetected if you're careful.
Some of that actually sounded useful.
I hope the dragon gets you.
So do a lot of people, I reckon.
Harry bounced his wand on his palm. I'll have a think about what to do on the way there. The rupturing curse should work on the eyes.
A bit cruel, Salazar said. But if it's that, it'll be turned into a small pile of ash.
I know, Harry sighed. But if it works...
Ha! The tagline of this fucking fic...
ODM to me. Okay. I suggest you try and use simple spells to find an elegant, easy solution, Salazar said. Keeping your potential a secret is generally a good idea if you don't want to suddenly make a slut. Ah. Keeping your potential a secret is generally a good idea if you don't want to suddenly make a lot of powerful wizards and witches feel threatened. An easy distraction in the rupturing curse, then, Harry said. No conjuring basilisks out of dragonfire. If the simple stuff fails, don't hold back. Better to have potential enemies and be alive than to be eaten by a dragon. A new motto for House Slytherin. That's a thought. You don't seem very worried about your last living family member, Harry quipped.
I know you survive. You're sitting in the pipe somewhere out there, after all.
I suppose. Harry turned it over in his head. I guess the version of me to first undertake the task must have made such a mess of things he'd... Must have made such a mess of things he'd no option but to resort to this. That version of me won't exist if the note changes things, and so long as I remember to leave the note... Ah. That version of me won't exist if the note changes things, and so long as I remember to leave the note afterward myself... And so long as I remember to leave the note afterward myself, then the loop will close, right?
I'm happy for this to be how time travel works in this fic, but that is not how time travel works. Okay, fine. Like, the other way it could have worked is that obviously, the only version of Harry that exists is the one that we see in the story, and he left himself the note. It's the same thing as in canon, where it's like he already cast the Patronus. I mean, him seeing himself cast the Patronus is the worst possible justification for the fact that he can now cast the fucking Patronus. But anyway, yeah, that's just bleh. So, Kiko, what I'm saying is that the way it normally works, there's only one version of Harry. Harry will experience everything that the Harry experiences because there's... Whatever. It's not...
Salazar smirked.
Probably. There's also a chance you make an even bigger mess of... There's also a chance you'd make an even worse mess of things and have to do it all again. Probably. There's also a chance you'll make an even worse mess of things and have to do it all again.
Maybe it's best to just not think about it.
You should go. No. You should go, Salazar said. Don't want to be late and miss watching the other champions try and avoid being toasted. You might pick up something useful from them.
Harry hurried out. Awful things happen to wizards who mess with time, Harry. Hermione's voice echoed up from... Hermione's voice echoed up from only a few months ago. I'm not listening. I'm not listening to you anymore.
Fucking... You time traveled with Hermione like 6 fucking months ago, you piece of shit. You piece of shit! I will say as well, what is so bad about wanting to be useful to your friends, wanting to be needed? You can have way worse hang-ups than that. And like, you know, she's like, oh, Harry's learned a thing, that means I have to too. She's just motivated.
Perception is a cruel thing.
Is it actually canon or intended canon that yeah, because she's fucking right the entire time. Is it canon that Harry is being influenced by the like, is that partially why he's being such a piece of shit? Yes. Okay. Yeah. Are all the thoughts in Riddle's voice? Because if they are, I need to re-record some stuff. But, I didn't get the impression that they're all supposed to be Riddle. Okay, yeah. I mean, I'm thinking of having it be increasingly a thing until he stomps a rat. Okay, yeah, thought so.
I'm not listening to you anymore. A large white tent, surrounded by reporters and teachers, squatted before a very Romanesque arena. Best not to risk Rita Skeeter a second time. Harry slipped round the back of the group and in through the side of the tent. Harry slipped round the back of the group and in through the side of the tent. Cedric's pale face jerked up to Harry. Crumb brooded at one of the tent poles, and the French witch leant against another as if Crumb brooded at one of the tent poles, and the French witch leaned against another as if she were waiting for someone to bring her a drink. Harry imagined that the drink would be sweet, expensive, and probably had a fancy French name his aunt would completely mangle. Should I warn them about the dragons? Should I warn them about the dragons? He glanced at Cedric. No, they wouldn't have warned me, would they? No, they wouldn't have warned me, would they?
You're all here!
Shit.
You're all here!
Bagman boomed. Bagman boomed. A stern Mr. Crouch hobbled in after him. Percy Weasley on his heels.
Stick your hand in the bag to draw out your opponent, Mr. Crouch ordered.
Your task will be to retrieve the golden egg from whichever creature you draw.
And there I was at the World Cup, thinking I would never be stupid enough to try and steal an egg from a dragon. Joke's on me, I guess.
You first, Mr. Diggory!
Bagman clapped Cedric on the back.
Home team has to set an example.
Cedric closed his eyes and dipped his hand into the bag. It came out clutching a short-faced, silvery-blue dragon that twisted and hissed in his palm. He doesn't look very surprised to see a dragon, Harry sensed foul play. Well, now I'm glad I didn't warn you. Bagman gave Cedric a thumbs up and a huge grin.
And you, Mr. Crumb!
Crumb stomped across and snatched a red, bulging-eyed creature from the bag. It prowled along the length of his palm, snorting small bursts of fire and stretching its bright crimson wings.
Miss Delacour! Miss Delacour!
So that's her name. The Delacour girl's face was pale as Aunt Petunia's precious pond lilies. Her fist came out clutching a green-brown dragon. She released a long sigh, and the color returned to her cheeks. The model dragon in her hand curled up and closed its eyes. Percy turned and thrust the bag at Harry.
Potter! Potter!
Harry met his stare with Tom Riddle's bright smile. Percy Weasley glanced away. Harry reached into the bag. His fingers met something warm and small. It wriggled. He drew it out of the bag to have a look. The model was as black as his wand, covered in jagged scales and spines, serpentine and furious. Harry watched it writhe along his palm, spitting small plumes of fire in every direction.
So Mr. Diggory gets the Swedish short snout, Mr. Crumb the Chinese fireball, Miss Delacour the Welsh green, and Mr. Potter has the Hungarian horntail.
Bagman bounced on his feet.
How exciting! I'm Brian Blessed!
Okay,
We'll proceed in that order, Mr. Crouch rasped.
At the sound of the cannon, you need only go through the entrance, and the task will have begun. A dull boom echoed through the tent.
I guess that means you're out of preparation time, Cedric, Bagman called. Go show them why Hogwarts has won this tournament the most times.
Cedric shot the man a fiery lent entrance. Ludo Bagman, Mr. Crouch, at the side of the tent. Harry eyed the dragon on his... The tiny dragon stared back. its yellow eyes bored into Harry's. It twisted round and seized the tip of his finger between its jaws. Bloody hell. Harry flicked it in the head until it let go. A small one bites.
Why, thank you, Matt. I was going to do it anyway.
Because normally, you know, normally Ludo sounds a bit like this. A bit sort of nervous, nervous wide boy, sort of, you know, almost chavvy, you know, because he's crooked, because he's a bit of a thief, a crook, you know. But
I don't hold to such things. Because I like to use like a hard cockney like that for other characters.
And it's so much fun to be Brian Blessed.
So
the crowd roared from the arena, and the enraged bellow of a dragon echoed through the tent.
"Seems a bit unfair we can't watch as well," Harry muttered.
Crumb chuckled.
"It would not be fair. Whomever went first would have a disadvantage." Yeah, I'm not even going to try Crumb at this point.
True. The cannon boomed, and Crumb straightened up. He discarded his model, gave Harry and the Beauxbatons which a nod, then vanished.
"I hope he survives. I hope he survives. He seems like a decent guy under all that scowling."
"Are you not nervous? Are you not nervous? Are you not nervous?"
The French witch took a step toward him.
This is not a tournament for the average wizard or witch.
Also, can I have some dick, please?"
Harry raised an eyebrow at her.
"I've seen that dragon up. Oh.
What?
Oh.
I've seen that dragon close up when it was caged. I didn't want to be near it then. I certainly don't now."
"Crumb probably knew as well. Bunch of cheats."
Harry frowned as a little flare of ambition rose inside his chest. "Great. Now I'm starting to want to actually beat them."
They're all pretty dangerous. They're all pretty dangerous. He said, "They are dragons."
"You are 14, Harry."
She tossed her silver hair over her shoulder. A strange little gleam appeared in her blue eyes.
"There is no way you could have learned as much magic as us. We are the best of our schools.
I have no choice but to compete. Why fear something if fearing it will not help? I've never been all that great at being afraid either. It just doesn't seem to happen to me much anymore."
He searched his mind for her first name.
"I'm afraid I don't know your name."
"Fleur Delacour."
Her blue eyes narrowed.
"I will let you read it off the Triwizard Cup at the end if you're still alive."
"Well, it seems like the end of that little chat. Well, that seems like the end of that little chat.
God, she's a bitch. They are made for each other. Holy shit. Like, she is such a bitch.
The cannon thundered. Fleur Delacour shot him a heated look.
Fleur Delacour shot him a heated look and stalked out. I feel sorry for the dragon. If it's anything like the model, it probably just wants to sleep. Now it's going to get more angry French witch than anyone deserves.
That's a pretty good line, actually.
He let out a long sigh. At least it's nice and quiet. The long silence stretched on and on. Maybe she got eaten. Harry bounced his model dragon on his palm until it hissed. She's probably already won though. So she'll be even more confident. The cannon boomed. Harry flinched. The small dragon lashed out with its tail and stabbed him in the palm. Infernal creature. If the real one is as bad as this one, I'm not going to enjoy this at all. He eyed the model and smirked as he strode to the exit. Yes, I think you'll be coming with me. The tent opened into a short, rocky passageway. Harry followed it, hiding the Harry followed it, hiding the hand he was holding the model horntail in, and slipping his wand out of his sleeve. A golden egg nestled on top of a clutch of a golden egg nestled on top of a clutch of large, dark dragon eggs. Bare rock stretched up to where the stands of the arena rose. Shouldn't there be an angry, fire-breathing reptile? Harry glanced around the arena and took aim at one of the rocks. Reducto! It burst into sand. A searing column of flame engulfed the innocent stone. The dragon reared up from behind the rocks and spread its tattered wings over its nest. It scraped its tail across the rock, producing a screech so loud it stung Harry's ears. Let's hope this works. Harry hurled the model dragon to the far side of the arena and took careful aim with his wand. It's going to take a lot of magic to make this small thing as big as the real dragon. The model swelled up to match the original dragon and roared. The Hungarian horntail whirled round and echoed the plastic model's challenge. The crowd cheered. Confractio, Harry whispered, aiming his rupturing curse for the real dragon's eyes. His first two attempts sailed between the dragon's wings as they squared up. His third deflected off the real dragon's jaw. His first two attempts sailed between the dragons as they squared off.
His first two attempts sailed between the dragons as they squared up. His third deflected off the real dragon's jaw, but his fourth struck true and blinded the creature on his side. The horntail screamed and shook its head, spattering the ground with spattering the ground with drops of steaming blood. It swung its tail round in a vicious arc, obliterating a small outcrop of rocks. Obliterating a small outcrop of rocks. Fragments of stone tore holes through the model's plastic skin. The model lunged, grappling with the original, and the two dragons crashed to the ground on the far side of the arena. Harry crept toward the nest. The model pinned the actual dragon beneath it, driving its tail through the tattered, leathery wing of its attacker. The original seemed dazed, but model's claws and teeth weren't leaving so much as scratches on the hard ebony scales of its throat and belly. The moment it breathes fire, that model, then me, are going to be in trouble. He snuck toward the eggs, watching the day. He snuck toward the eggs, watching the tail of the downed dragon scrape across the ground by the nest. The real horntail curled its. The real horntail curled its tail back on itself and impaled the model, then threw it away. Now or never. Harry darted for the golden egg. The horntail unleashed a wave of white flames. The model melted to ash. That'll teach it to bite me. Harry felt the horntail's yellow eyes focus on the nape of his neck. Oh, bloody hell. He grabbed the egg and ran. The crowd gasped. The barbed tail of the Hungarian horntail slammed into the rocks beside him. Sharp pieces of rock sprayed past him, slicing lines of fire across his face, arm, and thigh. Harry dived behind a large rock. Blistering heat descended on him. He hunched in and closed his eyes until the fire faded. Okay. Harry stepped round the rock and met the furious glare of the sole yellow eye. No more simple stuff. It's fire basilisk time. Red light streaked down from above. The horntail wobbled, then thudded. Red light streaked down from above. The horntail wobbled, then thudded to the ground. That's lucky. Harry bounced his golden egg in the crook of his arm and followed Mr. Crouch's arm toward the other white tent. Whatever's in this egg better be worth it. Cedric lay on one bed. Bandages swaddled one side of his body. A thick, light blue liquid soaked them in patches. It smelt strongly of mint and steamed in the low light of the tent. A few scattered patches of pink marred Crumb's face and arms, and his robes bore a few scorch marks and holes. The French witch leant against one of the poles. Not so much as a speck of ash on her. How annoying. Harry gave them a wave. Nobody died then. It was touch and go. Cedric replied. Crum laughed. Fleur Delacour's blue eyes bored through his.
They'll be doing your score, Crum said. You should go look.
Harry gave him a nod and vanished before Madame Pomfrey appeared and tied him to a bed. Five judges sat in an elevated box overlooking the arena. Madame Maxime, the French headmistress, raised her wand and shot an 8 into the air. A 9 rose from Professor Dumbledore's, and a 7 from the Durmstrang headmaster. And a 7 from the Durmstrang headmaster, Karkaroff.
All right.
Badman gave you a 10, and Crouch gave you an 8. Katie Bell edged round the... Katie Bell edged round the corner of the tent. She really wants something from me. She really wants something from me. He turned away. The note. Harry paused, then turned back round. Thanks. What are they out of? Thanks. What are they out of? 10, of course, she beamed. You did really well, Harry. I'm not sure, but I think they only took points off because you stopped to watch the dragons fight and took a little longer than the Beauxbatons champion. What did she do? She sang something, and then the dragon and every male in the audience fell asleep. Even Dumbledore yawned. The judges all gave her 9s except Karkaroff. He gave her an 8. Katie scrunched her face up. All the guys seemed to go weird around her. Except you, that is. And the others. Fleur Delacour won this round, so I should lose gracefully. He wrestled with a tight knot and the memory of those blue eyes piercing his. But I'm going to win the next one. Cedric did the worst. He transfigured a distraction and went for the egg, but the dragon got him with its wing and tail. You and Crum are equal. He blinded his dragon and collected the egg after it had failed somewhere out of the way. But lots of the eggs got smashed. Katie gave him a once-over. You didn't get anything more than scratches, did you? Nope. That's impressive. Angelina was really impressed, you know. Angelina was really impressed, too, you know. A shard of ice tightened in Harry's chest. I don't care what Angelina thinks. Katie shuffled her feet. She'll come to apologize soon. Like I have. She gave him a rueful grin. Fred and Jones told me you tried to convince her to stop holding a grudge. I did, but I still didn't speak to you. You are now. I guess I am. I was afraid you'd just ignore me. I think I would have been quite angry if you'd done that. Hermione has been telling everyone how you've changed and won't forgive anyone. She stopped a lot of people apologizing. I won't forgive them, Harry said. I won't forget them either. That's not in the... But I won't hold a grudge or anything. I just know I can't trust them next time. And Angelina,
And Angelina? And Angelina? Katie asked. She was the worst at the... She was the worst at the beginning. Don't think I don't know why she turned up. Don't think I don't know why she... No. Don't think I don't know why everyone turned against me. She was really jealous, Katie murmured. We all told her that she would get it, and she got convinced. Then everything happened, and things got out of hand. I know you don't owe me anything, but... I know you don't owe me anything, but... Would you consider giving her a second chance? If not for me, for the... If not for me, if not for me, for the Quidditch team. Gryffindor needs its seeker. And I need some dick. I'll listen to her if she comes to me, but that's all. I'll listen to her if she comes to me, but that's all. Thanks, Harry. Katie stepped forward and wrapped her arms around him. He stiffened, but she only tightened her hold. I guess I should hug her back? He folded his arms round her. That was nice, Katie smiled. You're taller than you used to be. I noticed. He looked down his nose at her and grinned. She shot him a mock glare and a wave as she wandered back towards the arena. How did she even find her way up here? Harry glanced around. You can't see me here, so she must have waited. That was nice of her. Mr. Potter! Mr. Potter! Madame Pomfrey's heels echoed down the gap between the tents. Uh-oh. Madame Pomfrey wielded her wand in one hand and a bottle of... Madame Pomfrey wielded her wand in one hand and a bottle full of thick, sludge-like brown potion in the other. I do not remember telling you that you could leave my medical tent, Mr. Potter. You didn't say I had to stay, either. You didn't say I had to stay, either. In! Madame Pomfrey stabbed her wand at the tent. Now! Some battles just can't be won. Harry hustled back through into the tent. I had better odds against the dragon. What did you get? Crumb asked. Evidently nobody else has been told they can leave, either. "42 points, and a very stern lecture from Madame Pomfrey," Harry said. "You have the same score as me," Crumb nodded. A faint gleam appeared in his... A faint gleam appeared in his eyes. "Well done, I did not expect it, but it is good to have competition." "I did the worst." Cedric peeled some of his bandages off, revealing fresh, hairless, pink skin. Fleur Delacour's stare peered... Fleur Delacour's stare drilled into his forehead. 44. Cedric grimaced. "Are you sure you don't want to be Hogwarts champion, Harry? You got 8 more points than I did." "It's just the first task." Harry met Fleur Delacour's stare. She flipped her silver hair over her shoulder and turned away. Madame Pomfrey bustled back into the tent. "Drink this, Mr. Potter." Harry eyed the brown gloop. "But I barely even got a scratch." She thrust the bottle into his hands. "When you've drunk it, you can all leave, Mr. Potter." Harry groaned, then pinched his nose and gulped it down. Aniseed flooded...
Aniseed flooded his mouth's nose. His eyes watered and he suppressed a gag. That was awful.
Go on, then. Madame Pomfrey plucked the bottle out of his hands. You'd think you'd be more grateful after spending so much time in my care every year, Mr. Potter.
Fleur Delacour boarded the carriage and... Fleur Delacour and Crumb drifted away toward the carriage and the ship.
I want to sleep for a week, Cedric said as they headed towards Hogwarts.
Well, excused from lessons, go ahead.
Harry grinned and tucked the egg under his arm.
I think I'm going to go lie down for a bit as well.
Occlumency exercises, Harry snorted. I'm going to use the time turner to leave that note, then find a nice wide point in the pipes and transfigure something into a bed. End of chapter 14.